A lot of speculation about vaccination. And just to be really clear, when the Premier announced that everyone on site, that's the fans, all the staff and all the players, will need to be vaccinated in order to participate in the Australian Open, we made that again clear to the playing group. What was great about it is at that point, there was only about 50% of the players that had been travelling that were vaccinated. So over the last 6 weeks, that number's gone to well above 80% and has continued to track towards 100%. And there's been a lot of speculation around Novak's position. He has noted that and said publicly that it's a private matter for him. But we would love to see Novak here. He knows he has to be vaccinated in order to play. He's won the Australian Open 9 times. I think he'd love to make it a double digit to win it 10 times.
Australian Open boss Craig Tiley confirming you need to be vaccinated to play. In fact, no vax, no entry, whether you're a player or a fan for the Australian Open. Brett Phillips has been good enough to join me, host of The First Serve, which you will hear at 8 p.m. tonight on SEN. Thanks to Be Solar, where you will never have to pay another expensive electricity bill. Learn more about better solar energy by visiting be.solar. Welcome to you, Brett. Great to have you back.
Yeah, thank you, Dwayne. Nice to chat.
And it was nice to hear Craig Tiley confirm it, because we were wondering whether he was going to confirm it as soon as the Victorian government came out and stated their position. We were working our way through whether or not the Australian Open were thinking of trying to get another deal cut, but obviously not. That's the deal, and they're accepting of it.
Yeah, well, I think the interesting part about it, Dwayne, is that, you know, obviously Dan Andrews, as Craig said there, mentioned, you know, what, 5-6 weeks ago now, that there'd be no exemptions for tennis players, and Craig has indicated that that was communicated to the playing group, and you still had Novak sort of, you know, holding out, waiting for an official, statement or official announcement from Craig, even though that was sort of communicated, that was quite known that, yeah, you're going to have to be double back. So you wonder what sort of happened in between. I imagine, you know, Tennis Australia would have probably gone back and tried to, you know, as much as they are certainly supporting the government, because the government's been so supportive to Tennis Australia and the redevelopment of Melbourne Park. You want to have good relations with the Victorian government. You wonder what sort of happened in that little period to see if there, you know, was any way to, you know, possibly get around unvaccinated players coming in. But yeah, look, that's the case. You know, it's quite simple now. I think now that the season's winding down, certainly, as Craig said, the vaccination rates have gone up with the tours, but we still await Novak. He wouldn't be drawn into a comment after he lost his semi-final at the ATP Finals in Turin on the weekend. As to his status and where he stands. So we'll have to just wait and see, and we probably should find out something, I'd imagine, in the next week or two.
And if you find it out in the next 2 hours or so, you'll bring it to us on your show tonight. The other massive story has been Peng Shuai. Interview with the IOC, so not with the WTA, but she's alive and seemingly alive and well.
It's a fascinating watch, that's for sure. It's taken many twists and turns just in the last 3 days. And I think, you know, everyone now is very much aware of the story. And, yeah, that video call with Thomas Bach, the IOC president, I mean, you take it on face value for now, but there's still some scepticism around, Dwayne, that they still want to hear Peng Shuai actually come out in public and actually speak. It's interesting that she's, well, supposedly, who knows, spoken to the IOC president, but hasn't had any communication with the WTA CEO, who's been trying to reach out to her on behalf of the tennis family, who have led this huge chorus with, you know, the hashtag Where Is Peng Shuai, really supportive on both the women's side and the men's side of the game, but she hasn't communicated to the tennis family. We get to hear from Steve Simon, the WTA CEO, probably because of just purely the time difference, in response to that video with the IOC president. But, yeah, going back over the weekend, I mean, look, a couple of videos popped up of her at a junior tennis presentation, one at a restaurant, supposedly, with coach and a friend. There was no time dates on that. The pitches, everyone's been very sceptical about the pitches. You know, and I think certainly people want to be able to hear from her talking freely in public without maybe being under any form of coercion to do things. So I think there's still a little bit of murkiness about it. But, yeah, I mean, the big issue certainly for the WTA is its relationship with China. It's a huge part of their calendar, you know, financially, and the amount of tournaments played there. And we'll see what, you know, we'll see what is going to be satisfactory for the WTA to continue that relationship.
Well, at the moment, they have to continue playing in China, don't they, on what we've got to hand right now?
Yeah, I mean, if she's safe and well, I mean, look, you know, certainly, I mean,
and asking for privacy as well, I understand, yeah.
Well, correct. I mean, but this is the thing, Dwayne. I mean, the allegations of sexual assault against the former vice premier, he hasn't said a word. The Chinese government, the Chinese Communist Party, haven't said a word. All that was taken down off social media, all the comments that she made, and we know how it operates over there in terms of censorship around this sort of stuff. So, you know, there's a bit to play out here. I mean, you know, they're pretty... it's a pretty big accusation, an allegation that she's made. And often when you do that against people of influence in China, it doesn't often end too well in that part of the world. People go missing all the time and vanish if you're outspoken against the government or an official. So, yeah, we'll wait and see. I mean, there'll probably be another development in the next few hours. It just seems to be lots of different parts to all of this. And we'll see what the WTA's got to say when they probably wake up Monday morning over in the US.
And what else on the show tonight, Craig? Sorry, Brett?
Yeah, we're going to get across.
I presume Craig's not on. Craig Tyler, you've been asking to get him on. Is he coming on?
Yeah. Not tonight, no. We'll have a chat to probably Craig the week after. He's got plenty on his plate, but we'll hear a bit of Craig. He had plenty to say on the weekend. But yeah, Aaron Solomon, a legal expert around the Peng Shui situation, is going to join us from Montreal with some very interesting things to say. He's lived in Beijing, so he knows all about the environment over there. So, yeah, we'll get into that. And plenty about the summer of tennis. So we believe, Dwayne, today that Adelaide is going to host two tournaments at the start of January. There'll be the ATP Cup and another tournament in Sydney at the start of January. Maybe a tournament or two here in Melbourne. Just waiting confirmation on that. But, yeah, we're going borders open, full border spread tennis as far across Australia as we can.
Great to have you, Brett. Thanks to BeSolar, where you'll never have to pay another expensive electricity bill. Learn more about better solar energy by visiting be.solar. First serve 8 p.m. tonight on SEN. Thanks to Wilson Tennis. Get back on court and live like an athlete with Wilson Tennis products, all available at au.wilson.com. Use the First Serve 15 code to receive 15% off your order.